Welcome to Omschooling for Spirituality. The Flow is a delightful mix of insight, divine inspiration, and humor, where wisdom meets earthiness to help your ongoing spiritual growth and transformation. Follow the flow of enlightenment and explore everything spiritual through the deepest self-inquiry as student Lisa Berry asks master spiritual teacher G.P. Walsh the kinds of questions you would ask an elder, a wise man, or a sage, and receive direct, simple, comprehensive, and deeply human lessons and teachings. From transcending the experience of separation, releasing old conditioned patterns and wounds, and alleviating suffering, to demystifying esoteric practices and revealing one's true purpose and innate freedom. Welcome to the flow of enlightenment. Transformation is all there is. And welcome everyone to the flow of enlightenment. We're here with GP Walsh and myself, Lisa Berry. Hello, GP.
Good morning, Lisa.
You know, last week we did the frequency and, you know, that feeling of, and so today I am going to have you do a little bit of energy work, but first, today is the energy of safety. And I know that you're, you know, one of the biggest reasons you show up in life, GP, right now is that you're here to help people alleviate suffering. Yes. And when we... I believe that, you know, we will suffer if we don't feel safe. That's a form of suffering. And so safety is really, really a big one for us right now.
Well, it's everything. It's the most fundamental mechanism in the human system. It dominates everything, and nothing else happens unless you're safe. It's that simple, right? If you're not safe, safety first, then secondarily opportunity, right? It's very, very primitive. If I'm safe, then I'll go find a mate. I'll have dinner, right? But if I'm not safe, I take care of that first. And depending on the degree of the danger, the entire system will just kind of kick right into fight or flight, right? Yes. Automatically. So the preservation of the individual form is paramount. And then, you know, we're allowed to have fun.
That's right. Eat your safety first, then you can have dessert. Okay.
That's right. Then you can have dessert.
Well, some of the things that were coming up for me, we have three questions, but I was trying to, I've captured them into three questions kind of thing, topics. And the energy of safety, some people, you know, we're really feeling in the world right now, like these are the narrowed down things, that our hands are tied, that we don't feel safe because we can't contribute or do something that would make us feel safe, that something could be taken away from us, that essentially we'd lose something. And there's actual questions that go with this. However, those things right there, that feeling like, our hands are tied, like we just can't. What if we never can find safety if we are in one of those three places? Hands are tied, something could be taken from us, or we could lose something. Like if we live in a state of never having safety from that, can we?
not with any degree of emotional or psychological health, no.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a constant state of stress, and you know, the organism will just, you know, give up at some point. It can only take so much. There's nothing more frightening than feeling like you're out of control, that you don't have control over your own destiny. And, you know, humans are, we're group animals. I don't want to call it quite a pack, but it is that kind of a pack or herd, right? We develop interdependencies. And we've just developed which is perfectly natural to us. You know, it's a family, for crying out loud, right?
Yeah.
Communities and extended families and, you know, villages, tribes, that, you know, all had a common purpose, which is the survival of the individual and the survival of the group, which were intertwined, right?
Yeah.
No individuals, no group, no group, no individuals. So it's just kind of this total interdependence. As our as technology increased with agriculture, the forming of city-states and that sort of stuff, that group dependency got bigger and bigger and then became specialized, right?
Yeah.
So it just kind of merged into this idea, and we developed hierarchy and we developed authorities, and there were the people who were running the show, and then we had kings and queens and all of that kind of stuff. That it's kind of natural for these hierarchies to emerge, but the more that hierarchy gets created, the less and less individual power there is, less individual authority there is, and we all feel that. And then, of course, those who get into power know quite well that the way you keep power is you keep everybody afraid.
Yeah. Yes.
It's that simple. Yeah. It's how you sell
stuff. That word. Yeah, there's that word power again, and it's a very different. So my mind had this picture of the kings and the queens standing overruling the people, and then and we back then maybe you'd feel safe that your ruler, your king or queen, would be taking care of you. But then I thought of how beautiful truly a mother's hug and embrace is, and that's a different kind of safety. And then I think that because you use the word power in there, that really defined it. So how do we know what is truly safety versus, like what I just said there, like I know if somebody who loves you hugs you, you can feel safe. It's so there. It's a different feeling than somebody going, okay, you can keep your job. You're safe. That's a very different feeling.
Oh, it's a totally different feeling. Yeah. One is visceral. The body feels it. You get a hug. The body is literally communicating through touch, you are safe, you are loved, you are wanted, you are needed. And that's what it means at the level of physiology. It means you're safe, you're part of the group, you are accepted. That's what love means at a very primitive level. So I forgot where we were going with that.
Oh, the different king and queen rulership safety, job safety versus visceral.
Well, that's why I used EFT, because it communicates it through touch. It communicates safety through touch. The thing is that when we get into a position like we have now in our world, where the individual has almost no power, right? Democracy is a myth. All of the so-called democratic governments of the world are all pretty much autocratic. They're run by large corporations and businesses. So the individual doesn't really have that much that they can do individually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have activist groups and things like that. But what I want to focus on that I think is the most important is the inner relationship we created with ourselves when we're not safe for ourselves.
Mm.
If I'm constantly diminishing myself, beating myself up, or relentlessly trying to improve myself, right? There's just kind of this underlying assumption that I'm not okay, right? There's something fundamentally wrong with me. And that's a very inwardly, I could even go as far as violent position you take about yourself. And if you're always forever engaged in fixing, I call it the self-help treadmill, you can't feel safe, right?
Yes.
Because the safety that, or the self-acceptance that the body naturally feels with a hug is being withheld by you to you until some standard gets met that will now give you permission to actually accept yourself as you are, which is what the hug represents. This is your internal hug, hugging yourself.
Yeah.
I love you just the way you are. It's very difficult for people to say that. I really do. But if I did this, I'd be even more lovable.
Yes, more acceptable, and which would equal more safe.
Absolutely. They're one and the same.
Mm.
At a very primitive level, my acceptability to the tribe was the number one factor that determined whether I lived or died.
Mm.
The human child is just, we are the absolutely useless for years, right?
Yes.
And so if I earn the displeasure of my tribe, it's my body feels that as a mortal threat. So I will do anything to stay in the good graces of the of my caregivers. And so that's, and of course that's where the fundamental split comes, because in order to stay in the good graces of my caregivers, I often have to sacrifice my own authenticity. I can't be myself. And that's where the self-rejection comes into play. And then this is where the disconnect happens, because while my body is safe, it's getting what it needs from the environment, my soul is just languishing down in the basement.
Yes. We think, okay, well, my body's taken care of, but yet we feel so empty and unloved inside. And that's the worst kind of mislabeled safety, which actually goes. One of the questions that came up that says, if you feel safe and trust in yourself, so you have that, you accept yourself, you love yourself, can you take on anything? If you truly have that safety, can you just keep it and get through anything?
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's a genuine self-acceptance, you find that without that self-criticism, that you have access to all of your authentic inner resources. And so the fullness of you is always available. That's what it means to be present. That's what it means to be creative. Your natural creative capacity is there and is free to come out as needed. You know, look at a child. There's no such thing as a child that isn't creative. They just don't exist, right? I mean,
right.
That has to get shut down. So they get inhibited about expressing that creativity, right? All of a sudden you're singing the top of their lungs, their parents don't like it, and before you know it, they're afraid of, they don't want to sing, right? Mm-hmm. Beautiful voice, nobody's going to hear it, right? Because it creates danger. This is the thing to understand about it. If being myself gets frowned upon or even punished by my caregivers, being myself becomes dangerous. I mean, that's the existential conflict, the existential trauma that we all go through. And I literally get cut off from myself. I'm not safe. I am not safe inherently, because it's not safe to be me. So being me is dangerous. I mean, it's nuts, but this is what happens. This is the area that I'm most interested in making the repair.
Yes.
Because it is the fact that this has happened to absolutely everyone, that what we see in our world is simply that existential disconnect magnified and amplified across the whole world. It's embedded in the systems of government and economics and everything. It's just one huge traumatized system that is completely out of, disconnected from itself. Or anything rational, disconnected from the earth. To actually look at that which is supplying us everything we need as some kind of commodity to be exploited until it fails is insanity.
Yes, yeah.
Where does that come from? Well, it comes from exactly the same place. We do it to ourselves. I become just something, a commodity I have to sell on the marketplace. I gather skills together so I could basically sell myself.
Yes. Right?
I'm not valuable in and of myself. I'm only valuable when I serve a particular role, and this just completely cuts us off from our soul. And when that happens, we create all sorts of institutions that are completely inhuman, which is exactly what we've done.
When you said that about selling ourselves, and you know we're valuable when we have a set of skills, I think that's why a lot of parents. I can just go with mothers, just, and I don't mean that fathers can't feel this way, but when their babies grow up and leave home, they feel like their entire role, you know, like their skill set, like who, they usually go out and get a dog or a cat or something, you know, because they want to, yes, you know, take care of something. Yeah, right. And is that, would you say that somebody who goes through that is lacking that safety?
Well, what happens is because of this initial disconnection from our soul, which is what I call it, which is what it is, you're disconnected from your authenticity, you can't be you and survive, we compensate for it, right?
Okay.
I try to be enough, right? You know, based on what the requirements of my particular tribe are, and then the larger world I go into, which becomes, you know, getting a job and getting a mate and that sort of thing. And for some women, it becomes being the mother. So now compensating for the disconnection from my soul, I become a mother. And now I am mother, right? It's not a job I'm doing. It's not a function I'm serving temporarily, which it is for everyone, right? I become the mother. Now, that's not as, that used to be the only thing, right?
Yes.
In fact, a woman didn't have children, had no value in the primitive cultures, even through the Bronze Age. That was what a woman was.
Yeah.
That's not as true anymore. And men have always really been defined by their work. So, you know, they'll go out and get 20 cats if they if they don't have a job, if they don't have something to do. Right.
Right.
Where the feminine is more geared towards relationship. As long as there's a relationship there, she's fine. And that's the, that's just kind of the natural, most you know, fundamental parts of ourselves. It goes beyond that when you start looking at it more. When you start looking at it more culturally and the way we've been educated to be. So, but the bottom line is that if it's not safe to be me, I have to become somebody that's not me in order to survive. And then I will be constantly trying to compensate for my weaknesses. And I'll be constantly trying to find something I can hold on to that will make me feel safe, that will make me feel whole, right? And this is what everybody does. Men and increasingly now women are identified with their job, their career, what they do. You know, people don't say, I practice law. I'm a lawyer, right? I drive a truck. I'm a truck driver, right? I'm a musician. It's not something I do. It's who I am. And this is how we try to define ourselves in a way that functions within our society. And because our society is based on this existential disconnection, the entire structure depends on that. And at every level, you get, you know, the new identity. And the higher you go, the better your identity and the more material rewards you get to prove that, see, you are somebody now.
And yes, I made something of myself.
And on it goes. It's always trying to compensate for simply the absence of the sense of wholeness. And without the sense of wholeness, you're not going to feel safe. You're a whale in the swimming pool.
You know what, with that, now we know one place that the energy of safety is not in identity. So let's come back after commercial and find out what it more is more like.
Where is it?
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Touch, move, and inspire. Sharing your story of how you overcame your deepest struggle will serve as someone else's survival guide. You are ready to get the book out of your head and onto the page. I'm Jocelyn Bellows, host of Breakdown to Wake Up, a live stream show dedicated to sharing personal journeys of men and women who have traversed through mazes of uncertainty, dark clouds, and dishonoring themselves, and the lessons they have learned along this path of what one can accomplish in our own self-discovery. And as a writing and life coach, I work with men and women to break through the BS of their lives to find their own voice and leaping into a life they love. It is my belief that when we share our stories of how we overcame what we have been through, it will serve as someone else's survival guide. So if you're ready to get the book out of your head and onto the page, I'd love to hear from you. Go to www.jocelynbellows.com and join me every Tuesday at noon Eastern and Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Our fun commercial break. We are back. The flow of enlightenment. And it's fun. This flow is fun. Yes, we certainly are. And here we are with the energy of safety. Now, we'll have to identify this. When you do the self-inquiry work, GP, when you're, you know, guiding somebody or you know, like somebody comes to you and says, hey, I need help. Is that the first place you ever start with somebody is to put them in the best place of safety?
If you don't, nothing will happen.
Right. Okay.
Simple as that. Yeah. I don't care how good a therapist you are. If you don't first establish an energy of safety, nothing's going to happen. Nothing.
That is.
And if you do, you can be the worst therapist in the world. It'll still work.
Oh, okay. I had to flip my brain over. Yes. So if they are able to achieve that with their patient client safety, then yeah, after that, it's really their nervous system, you know, the person who was suffering didn't feel safe, now feels safe. Like this is like the golden ticket to feel safe.
It's everything. Yes, it is everything. Everything we do is to compensate for the absence of the feeling of safety, and every conflict we have in our life, everybody can look at their own lives. You don't have to take my word for it. Look at any decision you've had to make, especially if it was a decision that was at all significant, right? And you had to go, you know, decide back and forth on what am I going to do. If you look at it closely, the back and forth is always between safety and freedom.
Yes.
Always. Can I do this and stay safe?
Yes. Can I do this?
Everything is measured against that, you know. And some people are extremely risk aversion. They won't do anything unless it's absolutely safe, right? And others can be a little bit foolhardy and try to ignore it, right? But it's always those are the two drives. They're the two most essential parts of it. The drive to be safe and the drive to be my authentic self.
Which is freedom right there. Because yes, freedom. It's so funny. I wanted to bring in the word comfortable here because freedom, you feel comfortable. Like you said, authentic, right? And so when we are uncomfortable, that can be, if we're so uncomfortable, that could mean to us, we could translate that to, I'm not safe. Like, I'm uncomfortable in this situation. I'm not safe. Some questions came up about a false sense of security. And here's a weird one. I don't know. This one, I tried wording it the best I could here. Where did it go? Can we love what we once feared? A person, activity, a situation. You know, so I'm imagining in this situation, we could. Maybe we feared heights, I don't know, and now we are a pilot, or I'm kind of made light of that one. But you know what I mean? Can we fall in love with our captor? Can we hate the job in the beginning just because we don't feel safe because we don't understand how it's done, but then we learn how to do it and now we love it. So can we love what we once feared?
Well, sure. Yeah. There's a certain naturalness to fear, right? We all have a certain kind of reluctance to change, right? If I'm starting a new job, I'm going to be kind of on high alert. right? Yes. Like, I want to do a good job. I want to understand it. I don't want to disappoint people. I want people to like me, all the normal kind of stuff, right? And so there's always a certain amount of anxiety whenever you're starting anything new. But what happens? You become familiar with it. You become comfortable with it. It becomes second nature. You feel totally safe. You don't feel like that you're threatened until they, you know, start announcing layoffs. They're moving the plant to Thailand or something. But within the, you know, that limited context of that particular closed system, I now feel safe. I've mastered my own territory.
Ah.
And that's what, you know, that's what the safety is. I've mastered that territory. If I master my inner territory, in my relationship with myself, I'm safe all the time. There is no time I'm not safe. And then the momentary, you know, alertness that you feel in the body is just, you know, when something new happens, isn't a threat, right? Because you know you have the resources that you're going to respond to it. You're going to master this territory too. Because you've mastered the one territory that gives you the power to master all the others.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. I like that. I actually feel like that's a course in master your inner territory. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, and then you can rule over all the other ones. And that is interesting because a lot of people question their safety, like false sense of safety or not, because they think, well, am I just used to the uncomfortability? Am I just used to not feeling safe that I don't even notice that it becomes like the not feeling safe becomes their norm?
Oh, yeah. That's where we are. That's where we are, right? Okay. We get to the point where we've all been so conditioned to anticipate what could go wrong that we can't even feel safe when everything's going right. Because we're not here. We're not present in this moment. If everybody listening to right now actually looked at their life at this moment exactly the way it is, without comparing it to anything that used to be in the past or anything that could happen in the future, you'll find you are absolutely safe.
Yes.
So why do I not feel safe when I look at all the conditions and everything says I am? Because our minds want to project into the future what could go wrong, because we've all been taught that to anticipate what can go wrong is what will guarantee our safety in the future. Which means I can never actually feel safe. It's not possible.
Right. That's a tricky one, though, GP, because most people think, you know, okay, well, I really could lose my job, or I could really get into a car accident, or my house could really burn, or all these things. Like, they could. And if somebody has threatened you and said they're going to, you know, you're going to fire you or something, it seems is it possible that this fear shows up just to, is there a fine line between feeling safe and having fear? Like, can we still have a little bit of fear just so we can prepare ourselves and still feel safe?
Be clear about what fear is. Fear is the body's response to an immediate present threat. That's fear. Imagining things that could go wrong is anxiety. That is not fear. That is imagination putting the body into a low-level state of fear, also called stress, in an attempt to avoid what might happen. Now, obviously, if, you know, your company just got bought, right? And the history of the company that bought you is one of, you know, basically axing everybody in the company they buy, right? Which happens all the time. Now, that's real. The threat is real. And what do you do then? All right, you start looking for another job. You start looking around. You brush off the resume. You take action because you can.
Okay. Right?
But if you're just imagining what might happen, you can't take any action. Right? Fear is an energy of motivation, of moving, of doing something. When you can do something, that energy of fear is being used creatively in the right way. When you can't, all you're going to do is create stress for yourself and anxiety and all sorts of psychological and emotional and physical problems as a result. Now, the whole thing always hangs on the fact that yes, something can go wrong. there is no guarantee that it won't.
Right.
Okay. So I can either then say, all right, I'm going to spend all my time making myself, scaring the shit out of myself as to what might happen.
Right.
Or I can just be really present with this moment, and as things arise, I'll deal with it. One way, you're like present, you're happy, you're content. And of course, in that state of mind, you are far more resourceful should something actually do arise. But if you're constantly worried about it, and, you know, you're worry puts you in a low level of stress. And what that means is the energy of the body, which should be going to creative engagement, is actually being channeled into the muscles to get ready to fight or flee.
Mm.
It's the same energy, right? It's just how it's being used. So it actually detracts from your capacity to be totally responsive in the moment when you're constantly thinking about what could happen. And yes. It's just a habit. It's a habit we've gotten into. And because of that justification, something could go wrong, the extreme that we've gone to try to compensate for that, right, is completely out of proportion with the likelihood that something is going to go wrong. The likelihood of something going wrong in your life is extremely small. As a matter of fact, the long history of your life, you know, if you look back and you go, how many of the things that you thought were going to happen actually happened? Almost none of them.
Right. Yes.
And yet our emphasis isn't on the absolute overwhelming majority of evidence that things are going to be okay. It's on the tiny shred of evidence that they're not. And that's simply because we've been educated that way. And culture likes that. It can sell us stuff. It keeps politicians in office. It keeps the power structure in place.
Is there a culture that has, I don't know, I didn't do the research here, but stats, is there a culture or country that actually lives with the least amount of fear and the most amount of safety? Or is it more?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you have countries that actually have social programs and nationalized medicine, medical services and that sort of thing, where there's a certain cultural agreed upon baseline of what humans need, and that is assumed that the organization of the government should provide those needs, that's its job, then we have created a system in which we can share in a shared sense of safety, and then maintaining that system and make sure it has integrity. The problem is that the systems we create tend to attract people into it that are more interested in the power than in actually doing what governments are supposed to do, which is provide basic services for people. So we all have a particular level, a shared level of a quality of life that we can trust in. And when we have that, creative things happen. There are more people can start jobs in country that have a nationalized medicine than in the U.S. People are afraid to change their jobs because in the U.S. your job is where you get your medical insurance. So entrepreneurship gets killed, right?
Yes, which is very creative, yes.
If I have to have a certain baseline of safety in order for me to be able to do anything creative. I know so many musician friends of mine, really amazing musicians, but they simply just couldn't get it, you know, they just didn't get the right break, so we're in the band that, you know, made the money. You know, one friend of mine, incredible drummer, he's 67 now. He's still a great drummer, amazing drummer. He's been financial analysis for, you know, 40 years to pay his bills and stuff like that. To me, that's criminal. That is such a waste of the resources because we have a system that is based on completely the wrong set of values. If he had a universal basic income and health insurance, he probably would have been able to invest enough energy in it that he probably would have been a big success. I know he had the capability of it. Yeah. Right? I knew a lot of musicians like that.
I was going to say, I know so many musicians like that too, and you're right. And even whether it's any art form, because a lot of people say, well, you know, I can't pursue, that's that word, pursue my safety, my passion, like inside safety, like joy, freedom, because this, my prison calls me because this is how I can survive. And that's a big difference, the energy of safety between safety of community, like you say, country where you live, then of your family, you know, then your relationship, and then yourself. The energy of safety requires different, aspects, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a universal theme, and it's absolutely essential to human nature. And when the goal of establishing safety is the liberation of the individual, you have the ideal that every culture should be shooting for.
Yes.
Just make sure that the basic needs are met well enough that we don't have the next Mozart that we never know about because he's in a coal mine somewhere, right?
Yes. And just on that too, because we'll go to commercial in just a minute, when you mentioned about, you know, the musician and, you know, because he quote unquote didn't get the break and didn't get the money and didn't get the record, there's a couple things going on there. The culture is like, he wasn't good enough, or he didn't try hard enough, or he wasted his talent. And that is so not very safe for that the musician, the person to hear. And we all do this in our lives. And when we do come back from commercial break, I'd like to share with the listeners that I'm going to ask GP to walk us through some of the words, the statements that we can be making and saying and tapping to, or, you know, just doing the energy movement to compensate. I don't know if the word is compensate to, I'm not safe. Because we definitely want to have the energy of safety. Yes, we want to experience this, don't we, GP?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so coming back, guys, the flow of enlightenment.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
All right. I was looking forward to this segment, GP, because you actually offer quite, oh my gosh, there's numerous videos on YouTube where you walk people through a lot of your energy techniques. I just punched in the word, or typed in the word, safety, and oh my goodness, so much came up from fear, anxiety, stress, all these things. And so if we stay on that, you know, what I had written down just before, you know, for our show description here was some of the words that people might be, well, some of the words that people absolutely say to themselves, which, you know, is, I'm not safe. I'm never going to be safe. I've never been safe. It's not possible for me to be safe. And I don't even know what safe feels like. And so if you would be so kind as to walk us, to bring us through one of those techniques where we can do this, where we, by the end of this, we're going to feel like, yes, I have a little bit of safety here going on.
Well, since this is radio.
Yes.
People aren't looking at us, and some people might not know what tapping is. I'll just try to do it more of in a meditative state.
Oh, perfect. Yes.
I find EFT tapping extremely useful in this because it does add the dimension of touch to the mix, which is absolutely essential. And for me, that's what EFT does. It actually stimulates the parts of the, you know, the energy system that are associated with feeling safe or comforted.
Right.
And so you know, touching particular parts of your body will actually bring out that characteristic. You know, you'll often see, you know, somebody surprised to put their hands over their mouth, right? Or
yes.
You know, both hands sometimes, or up next to their the side of their head, near their temples, by the edge of the eyes. They'll scratch their head if they're thinking about something. Those are all the points. They're the comfort spots on the face, and they're very natural. Mm-hmm. And you could try right now, have people just rub your collarbone. Just put your finger on your collarbone, you know, that little bulge next to the next to where your the Adam's apple is, right?
Yeah.
And then just put one finger on top and let the other fingers fall in a little soft place underneath, and just rub it. Just, you know, a little bit of pressure so that you that feel it. For some people, it actually, there's a sore spot there. There's a little bit of sensitivity.
Oh.
Which is actually a natural phenomenon. And if you just kind of rub it a little bit as I'm speaking. And a really good exercise to do is simply bring to mind something that you really want, you've really wished you could get, but haven't been able to for whatever reason. Something big enough that it would make a difference in your life, not something that's like, not important, you know, okay, if I don't get that latte this afternoon, I'll be okay. But something that would make a difference in your life. It could be a big thing, too, right? That relationship you've always wanted, or, you know, the job or the opportunity or something like that. But something that you may have even tried, you may have even given up on it, right? I just want you to bring it to mind while you're rubbing that spot. And what I want you to do is simply notice the feelings that run through your body when you bring that thought to your mind. Now, some people may even have a hard time bringing something to mind, right? Or if they do, it's fuzzy or it disappears really quick, right? That's also very telling. That is just the energy of resistance. This is your desire for something is running into the resistance to it. This is the essential conflict between desire, freedom, growth, expansion, and safety, saying, nope, everything has to be the same. It's not safe for you to have that. I want you to feel it. It's a very visceral feeling. This is not abstract. This is all happening in your body. And so if you're even having a hard time holding the picture, that's resistance. You may feel some kind of contraction or tension in your body. That's resistance. Right. Now, I don't want you to do anything with it, right? We're not here to try to manifest this desire. We have no agenda whatsoever. We're simply trying to feel the nature and functioning of our own nervous system. Okay. And I would, this is radio, so I can't pause for long periods of time to let you just sit there and focus on it. So I'm going to try to just keep talking through what you might be experiencing. And you'll notice that there is this kind of conflict between two very powerful drives. One represents freedom, which is your you know, the desire, your capacity to fulfill your desires. And the other is the safety that says you can't do that. It's not safe to have that. And in fact, that's the only reason desires don't get fulfilled, is because the energy has decided it's not safe to have it. Period. If it decides it's safe, it happens. If it can, it will, right? And for the most part, the only thing that keeps it from happening is this energy that has already predetermined that it's not safe. Now, in this process of simply recognizing both, it's very important you don't take sides, right? Don't make resistance the enemy that somehow you have to vanquish in order to get what your that desire fulfilled. And don't be so clinging to that desire that you feel your life, you know, is not going to have any value without it. Really see if you can get to a position that is acknowledging both sides, because these are both aspects of you, both the natural inherent desire in all of us to grow and evolve and expand, and the natural primitive drive to remain safe and don't rock the boat. They're both real, and you can't get rid of either one. So don't take sides. I call this the position of the peacemaker. You're the perfect negotiator, right? You don't want to show up at a negotiation and find out that the other guy's lawyer is the mediator. Right? You have to have somebody that's completely neutral, and you need to be neutral. Desire can't be neutral. Its nature is to desire. Safety can't be neutral. Its nature is safety. So it'll never abandon those positions. So you have to. So you just sit in the middle now, with no agenda whatsoever, right? Except simply to experience yourself as you are. And I want you to notice the effect that has on the whole system when you drop the conflict, when you don't take sides. You'll feel it in the body. The defenses tend to come down a little bit. You have just become safe for yourself. When you take a side, you make an enemy. I really want to have this. Damn, I wish this feeling would go away, this get rid of my ego or get rid of this resistance. You just created an enemy. A powerful enemy, because it's not going anywhere. But if you're the peacemaker, and you really don't have a vested interest in the outcome, and really think about it, you don't, right? If getting the object of your desire really did put you in danger, you would think twice, wouldn't you? So both of these are two aspects of you that are absolutely essential. If one is dominant, if safety is dominant, our life is kind of boring and small. If the desire is dominant, it'll be very exciting, but it won't last very long. So there's this flow between these inner energies. And that which is mitigating the flow and really really guiding the flow is this enlightened you, the peacemaker. So you're both honoring your desire and honoring the whole mechanism of life simultaneously. And in so doing, you become safe. This is how you reconcile with yourself. This is how you establish yourself as safe for yourself. Because in fact, what you're doing is recognizing your own nature. The nature of desire, the nature of freedom, and the nature of safety and survival. So just take a nice breath now, and we'll let this go for now. I normally don't talk that much when I'm doing meditation. I have a little bit more space, but you know, dead air on radio is just is verboten. You just don't do that.
Yes.
Now, if you may have even noticed that if you continue to do it, the rubbing of that spot actually had an effect on your body. Just that rubbing that spot under your collarbone. It will actually, it's communicating to the body, it's okay, it's okay. Hmm. And you probably even notice people doing that unconsciously. You've probably done it yourself unconsciously. Talking to somebody and just kind of find yourself rubbing around the collarbone like that. It's a very natural movement. Right? Because the body knows what it needs. And it's just going to do it, right? Which is what it does. It just starts, the body itself just starts rubbing this point. You don't even have to think about it. With EFT and acupuncture and the like, it's just become conscious. It's been mapped, and they know that this is the effect that it has.
You, GP, something that's I've recognized and remembered is that when I was little, you know, if that's a horrible memory, but, you know, if you happen to be sick or not feeling well and you're over the sick, the toilet, throwing up, if your mom or dad was there, they would, you know, rub your back or tap you a little bit. Or if you had some, like, you sore feet, sore legs, they would, you know, there's just like this tap. Or even when people are in pain, they rock. You know, there's a movement.
Yeah.
This release of that isn't, and it's comforting. So I can really relate to that, and I think people can feel that too. It's I feel like we just all took a break from all the crap in the world.
You took a break from your own self-deprecation.
Yes.
By just becoming your own best friend for a moment.
Aww.
You were in a state of self-acceptance. You didn't realize it. I didn't call it that. But in that moment, you were simply in a total self-acceptance. That is unconditional love. And that is the only healer there actually is.
That's the, oh, wow. That was powerful. And you can feel that, because one thought that ran through my head was, yes, if somebody else was sitting here with me right now, I would, and I know I would be thinking, oh, do I look funny sitting here like this? Because nobody was here. I didn't care. That's if right. I looked, I'm not looking at me.
That's right. You don't have to have the makeup on.
And it's such a nice, I like that, you know, you become your own best friend, and you hold your own self. Yeah, I love that you didn't call it that. That was sneaky. Thank you. I'm like, oh, well, let's invite some, you know, invite everybody. If you're listening right now and you would love more of that, because there's certainly tons and tons. First of all, every Sunday, GP, you do a satsang on at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And it's 2 hours, guys. Like, he literally does the 2 hours, so you can interact. You can type in a question or, you know, a comment. And GP, you're following along as you do that. You try to get to as much as you can. And then we certainly invite you to come to gpwalsh.com, because then you can sign up for the newsletter, the light letter. I love that. And find out what's coming up, what's going on, and what courses are being held, and whether that's your day courses or a full-blown course. So yes. If I can squeeze this in here, you are a master spiritual teacher, but you help others become their master spiritual teachers as well. So it's to help them end suffering, but they can also in turn help others by working with you.
Well, heavens, yeah. Yeah, this isn't a commodity you want to hoard, right? I don't have, nobody owns the patent on truth, right?
Right. Oh, another T-shirt.
I want to be out of a job. I want suffering to end, and then I'm out of work. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, the true teacher isn't here to make students. They're here to make teachers, right?
Yeah.
The real guru is cultivating gurus, not devotees.
Yes, yes. Actually, I just learned more deeply what the word guru means, and to make it, I'm going to make this super short, is someone who helps shed light on the darkness, on the unknowns, on the untruths, and... I just, so yes, so appreciate it. Oh, it's a beautiful world. So we definitely want to invite everybody over, and then to tune in again, of course, next Tuesday for another Flow of Enlightenment. And if you have any questions, if you would like GP to explore something here and share it with us and just talk about it, then please email at questions with an S, questions@gpwalsh.com. And then we can have a look over those and put it together within the theme. And to lots of invitations here, GP. And the other one is to join the Facebook group. And it is GP Walsh Spirit. Oh, wait. Yeah. Is it Spiritual Teacher first? Hold on here.
No, I think it's GP Walsh Spiritual
Teacher. Yeah, it is. It's GP Walsh Spiritual Teacher. That's going to, that, you know what, we're going to kick up some fun stuff in the summertime in that group. So you definitely want to get over there. So giving you lots of ways to connect, because you know what, there's no need to feel alone. There's no need to feel unsafe. And if you do, that's where you are, then you can just get in touch with us and we can do our best to help you along. Right, GP?
Yep. That's what we do.
Oh, well, thank you everybody for joining us. Yes, without end. And so everybody, thank you so much. This was the Energy of Safety. We hope that you feel a little safer, and we will see you guys, hear from you guys all next Tuesday.
All right, goodbye everybody.
Bye everyone.